everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Jake.
And I'm Josh.
And today we are watching episode 255 of Power Rangers. Power Rangers in Space, episode 5, Never Stop Searching.
It aired March 6th, 1998, is written by Steve Roth and directed by Blair Trueh.
I have a feeling I know what this episode's about.
Just by the title itself, I can hazard up a guess on some information we're going to come into.
At least it will introduce one of the major themes of the season.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that after we watch the episode and know for sure. If you're new here, what we do is we pause the recording, we go watch an episode of Power Rangers, then we come back, get this, guys, we talk about it.
Isn't that crazy? What is crazy? Imagine if we came back and did something else.
We just came back and went, yeah, and then left.
Do you guys like it? All right, send cool. us a tweet. We'll see you next time.
We'll see you later.
This is a Twitter podcast, so
you can follow along if you got Netflix or the DVDs, and you should, because it's in space. It's been good so far.
Well,
asterisk. There was a Ninja Turtle happening.
The Undertaker is undefeated at WrestleMania, asterisk. Except for the one time.
Yeah, but right after that, he went right back to being undefeated. Don't worry. So we're going to go watch Never Stop Searching now.
Let's rock it!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Rangers in Space!
And we're back, and we just started searching, and now we are never, ever going
to stop. We can't stop. Once you pop,
we popped.
And you just can't stop. Also, just for transparency's sake, we did spend about 10 minutes looking at pictures of John Cena at the Nintendo Switch event.
And then we talked about Goldberg for a while.
We did talk about Goldberg for a little while, but I do want to talk about John Cena's arms in that. If you haven't, go on Twitter and just Google John Cena Switch. And there's a picture where they definitely photoshopped his arms to be bigger.
I'm not totally convinced.
Okay, we're going to put up a poll then.
I'm not totally convinced that they did on one hand. But on the other hand, like, they had to.
Like,
but it's an official promo image. So
but they wanted to make him look so strong.
That one intern was like, look at what I'm going to do.
I'm going to drag John Cena. Yes, Cena. How dare you not put Wade Barrett over. The Nexus would have rolled if not for you. I'm going to make your arms look a little stupid. Or
I'm
conversely,
I'm going to make it look like you could crush your own head.
Yeah, or conversely, I'm going to make your head look a little stupid for having such big arms. MorphinGrid.tumblr.com is our website. So is HeyJakeAndJosh.com is where the archives are. You can email us at littleidiots.morphingrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at MorphinGrid. We're on Facebook. I don't know why I even said that. Maybe we should change the... No, we're not going to change Facebook. We're going to get rid of Facebook. I don't know if we'll actually delete it, but I'm just going to stop thinking about it. Because we do have a Discord now.
I'll just delete it if that makes you stop mentioning it.
It won't.
Okay.
It still existed at one point. I was thinking about turning it into like a community page, but we did...
have Discord now.
We made a Discord. So if you're a $5 patron or above, go on to Patreon and just check out the Discord link. Click on it, sign up, and you get exclusive access to a place where all of our other patrons can hang out.
Yeah, I pop in sometimes.
I will too. It goes quick. It moves fast like a Sonic.
Yeah.
And there are different channels. So like if you listen to any of our other podcasts, you can like talk about those in our specific channels, but there is a Morphin Grid one, so go check that out. It's a pretty cool place. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and Google Play, and if you want to listen, you can do that there. I'm just gonna run with it. If you want to listen, that's where you do that. If you want to leave a rating and review, though, that would also be great. Thanks. We're on Patreon, patreon.com/HeyJakeAndJosh. If you go there and donate a little bit every month, you get some cool stuff in return, including our new Discord. You get access to that. And again, it's Patreon exclusive, so you can only get it through there. Unless I messed something up and accidentally made that post public. But I don't think I did.
I don't think you did, because I couldn't see it until I logged in.
Oh, sweet. So, yeah, go check that out. So, Josh, a couple episodes ago, we were ahead by 2 episodes.
We were.
Which is nice for the time. But then we got current. But here's what happened in between then. I asked if anyone could explain Mega Ranger to us.
Yes.
Do you know how many people explained Mega Ranger to us?
At least 3.
I'm going to say 6 or 7.
Okay. Oh, good.
So the first ones were actually Annie and Jonathan. They did it on, they were on, they're a guest on Pokemon World Tour United, and they gave us a very brief overview where the Power Rangers are, the Sentai Power Rangers are, Mega Rangers, I guess, are in an AV club. Then we got a little bit more from Ross. Ross sent us a couple things over Twitter. My favorite thing, though, is he sent us a screen cap of their, like, morph page paused because it has some really great English lyrics.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
My fave.
Are you ready? Some of these are, it's a little blurry, so I don't know if I'll be able to read all of them exactly. Okay. But here's what I can read. Tighten up, reality gangster. That's great.
Yes.
That's one step under Sky Game Posh Boy. Stigma through idiot hearing.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Keep frustration clear. Patience open ahead. Getting away with it led. Some distant memory drove. Mm. That's kind of behind Mega Red. So I don't know. Oh, but then others are over Mega Red. So I guess it's just drove.
Like, drive, like memory drive?
No, it's definitely an O.
Oh.
So some distant memory drove. Get the message.
And then, some of these are just like passive aggressive commands.
This is not even a word. Indiscipline all remains.
Ew.
Wish double something. I can't really read it. Cover. Double edition cover, maybe? Wish double edition cover. That's my favorite version of this book. The Wish double edition cover. Under stress, new canoe? New chance. Maybe that says chance?
It's either chance or canoe.
It's either chance or canoe. And then I think it's something trial, but I can't read it. Then there's also some like weird, like when they do silver, it gets all 3D.
I might start telling people to tighten up.
Tighten up, reality gangster. There's, and I've never seen it because it's an anime, but the See You Space Cowboy, I think it's from Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah.
Or Outlaw Star, one of those two. And I like that phrase, See You Space Cowboy. I like Tighten Up, reality gangster, a lot better.
The Space Cowboy, Randy Savage. I don't know if you remember that from his brief stint in Total Nonstop Action Wrestling.
No, I don't. this is just some important news that we got sent from at Jaded Butterfly J on Jade, as the Twitter ID says. There is a Power Rangers, the official movie novel, coming out, so I have just enough morbid curiosity about that.
It's like a junior novelization, I imagine, right?
Oh, I bet it's for teens, if I had to guess.
All right, so it's like a reading level 3, 4.
I mean, who can tell?
I might read it. Not like buy it. I'll just like read a page a night when I'm zoning or something.
That might take a while, but it'll pass the time.
I'll read your book, but I'm going to do it for free.
But I'll do it on my terms. Thank you. So then we got a couple different emails from a couple different people saying similar things, like all kind of explaining similar things. So Alberto said the Mega Rangers theme is computers and networking, so their personal crests revolve around that. Black is a satellite, which allows him to connect to the world satellite network and trace digital transmissions. Blue has a digital TV, which he can create a variety of digital holographic illusions. Yellow has a digital camera that grants her enhanced visual capabilities. Pink has a digital phone. It's not a calculator, it's a phone.
Oh, okay.
That grants her audio scanning capabilities. And finally, Red has a PC, which enables him to upload data and program himself with any skill. That sounds pretty neat. Unfortunately, In Space doesn't utilize everyone's special abilities except for Pink and Yellow, I think. We did already see Yellow, so that's
right,
halfway
yeah.
there. Also, remember the Nature episode with our boy Little Richard?
Yes.
Yeah, that was from episode 18 of Mega Ranger.
Okay.
Yep.
That's weird that they did that.
That's what I said. I said, hey, that's a little weird. James also sent in some stuff.
So Litter Richard is a Mega Ranger monster?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Digital litter. He's a trash bin.
Sure.
Well, that was like love letters, I think.
Right.
I think it might have been Ross said love letters.
But he looked like a Chinese takeout box.
Yeah, that's what I thought he was. I would have bet that's what he was, but it was not. So James also sent it in. He basically said the same thing that Alberto said, and gave us like a little list of what the things are. Also, apparently, yellows can also pinpoint enemies' weak spots.
Sure.
So that's how they found out which kaleidoscope Clippy was the right one a couple episodes ago. So then we got a big one from Artley. She says, "Hey guys, I am once again here to shed some light on Mega Ranger / In Space. Quick update from Terp. Gold Goyle was actually the big bad in Car Ranger Emperor Exhaust. He is the one who convinced Dynamo to blow up the Earth / do the fireworks display. If you thought Radiata Fanbelt was a great character, wait till you meet her big sister, Princess Vanity Mirror Fanbelt."
Come on.
Come on.
Radiata Fanbelt's good. You went one too far Mirror.
Really driving that car pun naming into the ground, aren't they? Yes. Yes, they are, Arley. So, real quick summary of Mega Ranger. It's more or less based on virtual reality and the International Network of Excel Science and Technology. I read that wrong. And the International Network of Excel Science and Technology, or I guess INET, if I'm putting them together, created Mega Ranger as a simulator to recruit the team to fight the season's bad guys. The Nezerija? That's as close as I'm going to get.
Yeah. I can't see it, but that sounds right.
Kenta, and that's in red, so I assume that's a Red Ranger, gets recruited and will only come to the Nasada station if he is treated to a meal. The rest of the team, Koichihiro, Shun, Chisato, and Miku are their high school reporting club. They sneak into the station to find out exactly what's going on there, and while the station is under attack, they hack their way out of a dangerous situation and are recruited to be the rest of the Mega Ranger team. Most of the combat does take place in the video game realm, which explains the screen jumps in space. It also kind of makes sense for this episode.
It does.
Here are some quick fun facts according to some research and Linkara's History of Power Rangers, which I have heard about, but I've never actually watched. The producers of In Space created the series prior to getting the footage for Mega Ranger. Another fun fact, there was a rumor going around that Christopher Kamen Lee apparently hated filming the TMNT episode. So the disgust you see on Anderson's face might be genuine. To be fair, I actually like some Next Mutation, but I was a dumb kid when it came out and didn't know any better, and watching it now, a woof. That's how I feel like I'll be if I watch it again, so I'm just going to let it be fine in my head. I'll write back with more info on the baddies as I keep watching. Here's another fun fact. The dog bullshit from Mega Ranger is just as weird as the American footage suggests. It just shows up and then...
Which one is this?
In the first episode that Astronaut was just in.
Okay,
but
yeah.
Maybe she isn't.
Yeah. Oh, you mean the dark space room ship.
Yeah. Can't wait to come on the show. And oh, brother, prepare for this movie. Later's from your friendly neighborhood, Sentai Senshi, Artley. Thank you all very much.
Wait, what movie is she talking about?
Just the Power Rangers movie. You just got to get ready for it. Just like steal yourself.
I just talked about reading the book and then immediately just forgot.
That's fine. That's probably right for the best, actually. So thank you, everybody who sent in. I'm sure some other people sent some stuff in. I just can't find it. So anyone know that's to send some stuff in and that I forgot? Sorry. But thank you, guys.
Before moving on, we've got one review that I could find in the weird jambalaya of reviews that we have
iTunes
now.
Is getting abstract with its scrabbling process.
I scrolled all the way through, and this is the only new one.
Okay, cool.
It is titled Yes. Just like, yes.
Yes.
You know, like when you pick a level in Pokemon Snap, and Todd's like, yes. It's like that.
Do it. I think I have that sound effect. I can probably drop that in.
I think I got like all the sound bites from that game and sent them to you.
I have at least all of Professor Oak's.
Wonderful.
It is by iTunes user Ben Active with two N's.
Okay.
And it reads as follows. Jake and Josh are the white hetero cis males this world deserves. While waxing nostalgically about the show and so much more, the two Ranger boys clearly Ranger boys is
Ranger
capitalized.
Boys. Nice.
Clearly represent their identities while making a welcoming space for fans of all races and creeds to enjoy along with them. Warning: the first few times you come across the "What was the Pink Ranger wearing?" segment, you'll cringe in fear of creeper vibes. But in reality, it's mostly just these two revealing how very little they know about women's fashion.
Yep, accurate.
That is essentially how it started. It was like, it would be funny because I don't know about clothes.
Yeah. And because it's all like, especially when we started in the very beginning with Kimberly stuff, it's just like amazingly 90s.
Yeah. It was the most 90s clothes they had in the wardrobe department. They just threw them at Kim.
Yeah.
Best part has to be when Jake gets so frustrated and angry over the insanity of the show that his voice shifts into squeaky outrage full of genuine emotion and passion over a show he clearly loves.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we try to be inclusive. I feel like we do a good job, and I feel like we have enough cool people listening that they would tell us if we weren't. So
I think so.
So thank you very much. And as for the squeaky voice thing, that's just like how I live. That's just how I live my life.
Yep.
So it's like, get excitable is all. Thank you very much for the review. Are you ready to jump into the episode?
Absolutely.
We start off with an Astro Megaship toy slowly flying at the screen. It's not Japanese footage.
No, it's too, the quality's too good.
It's, well, the clarity is, I would not say the quality is
yes,
good.
Yes,
it, the, we can definitely the... see it.
You can tell it's a toy on like a fake yeah. background.
I actually prefer the Sentai footage, like the way that looks.
I do too. Like, watching a newer season is jarring.
I was watching Ninja Steel. I just called it Ninja Ranger. I was like, that's nothing. I was watching Ninja Steel, and like, it's weird when they morph and go into like very crisp HD Zords. And yep. This is because I haven't watched Power Rangers in a long time, but like, it's a little weird.
Yeah. I'm worried about getting to those seasons because, like, a lot of the charm is the footage shift.
Yeah, that is true.
And when that gets lost, like, I don't know.
I still feel like, with the exception of, like, this season and, I guess, Mega, I didn't see any of Samurai or, Samurai was the first one back. I haven't seen any of Samurai. But, like, RPM definitely has, like, a look to it when it changes.
Yeah.
It's still CGI, but it has, like, a different kind of look to it, I think, from what I've seen of it.
I also don't like the CGI. I wish they had stayed with dudes in boxes, but, like, in HD.
Yeah, there's... The problem is if it's too high def, you can see all the warts, you know?
Yeah,
you can see all
the
problems.
Well, then just keep it... Who cares?
You can't keep... It won't broadcast anymore.
I mean, you could shoot it digital, but not in, like, high def.
Well, yeah, but when you... Like, the signal you send it over would, like, up-res it. So it would either look bad right. or be high def but square. So you don't have a lot of options. And they got rid of standard definition broadcasting. Like, you just can't right. broadcast a regular thing in standard def anymore. Which is why if you watch, like, I don't know why Clarissa explains it all, it pops into my head, but if that's on regular TV, there's, like, the boxes on the side because they have to fit it to the screen or else it'll be all janky. This has been Jake's TV Corner. So Carlos is fixing the red Astro Glider, and I don't know why. I don't know why it's Carlos's job to fix this.
He's the tech guy now. He does the machines this season.
But he's not...
But, like, last episode, which I think is not canon, I'm just going to say it wasn't.
It's canon.
I think everything from the Astronomus Stinger in episode 3, between that and this episode, is not canon.
It's canon.
It's as canon as the Masked Rider stuff, which I guess technically it is canon,
it's
but it's never
canon.
Ever going to come up again.
No. How crazy would it be, though, if in Ninja Steel, they're like, oh man, did you know that Power Rangers met the Turtles once?
I thought they were fake. They thought we were fake. It's crazy.
It's so weird.
Astronomer couldn't believe. He should have saw our face.
The new Ninja Turtle. The new Ninja Turtles from the new Nickelodeon show can come on to Ninja Steel.
Right, they've already got the CGI.
It's all CGI. It'll fit right in. So,
what were we talking about?
Carlos is fixing
right.
a Galaxy Glider.
Right, I brought up the Ninja Turtles.
Oh, I did
Turtles.
Say Astro Glider in my notes, too.
I brought up the Ninja Turtles because TJ was the one fighting alongside Donnie in that episode.
Okay. Yeah, Blue does machines. That's typically...
But Carlos is doing all the machines.
I guess Carlos just, like, is really into this space stuff.
I guess so. TJ's not doing a lot. Like, he's still
no.
a Power Ranger, and when they're fighting, he's still, like, holding his weight. But, like, in the ship, he's not doing much.
Well, we haven't seen a lot of in-the-ship stuff yet. But, yeah, it just seems like... I don't know. I feel like Carlos just, like, really likes it.
He's been waiting his whole life to be in space.
Yeah.
In space.
So Andros does a scan. Oh, all the Rangers are like, hey, you going to bed, Carlos? We're all going to bed. I don't know why they have to go to bed. I don't know why they have a bedtime. I don't know why the Power Rangers have a bedtime.
Well, because they're teenagers.
Sure. That makes sense.
Theoretically, they have school in the morning, but I don't know. Maybe it's summertime. I have no idea what is happening.
I don't.
As far as, like, these teenagers' social lives. I don't know where those lie.
Sometimes they go to Earth, and other times they don't.
They've only been to Earth once.
Once
it was,
so far.
It was to go to Angel Grove Radio Shack and grab some wires for
the
megaship.
Some parts. Andros, Carlos is like, no, I'm going to fix this up and then I'm going to go to bed. Andros does a scan. He's alone in the on the deck, and there's no life forms in the galaxy that they are in. So I guess the parts they got from Radio Shack did get them long range.
Yeah, so they're out of our galaxy then.
Have to be. And they can't be in any adjacent ones with life forms in it. I don't know where they would be, but nobody else is here. So he's like, all right, do a bigger scan. Scan more, Deka.
He's like, scan the next quadrant.
Yeah.
You know, you scanned the whole galaxy, right?
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Is space cut into four parts?
No.
Because they say quadrant, and space that means a fourth.
Space is infinite parts.
But like,
as far as we know, I try not to think about it because that's too big.
But then you can't have quadrants unless there's no y-axis.
Z.
Z is
forward and back.
Okay.
I can't remember if Y is up and down or left and right.
Y is up and down.
Okay.
There's no...
X is left and right, and then Z is in and out.
So there's got to... I don't know how it works. Did they just like, all right, they split it here, and it's like all the way up in these four places? It doesn't make... At the very least, you would need eight so you could have an X, Y, and Z. But
they're just saying buzzwords.
I know they're just saying space words, but it bothers me.
Quadrant's not even like a space word. It just sounds kind of
spacey. I think it's been taken over by space. I think space bought the rights to Quadrant, and they are using it. So Andros takes his, like, a little necklace out, and he opens it up, and there's a little tiny disc in there. A little tiny disc Walkman.
Oh, when he was scanning the Quadrant, he had, like, this piece of, like, wax paper.
He had a placemat.
When I was a kid.
So he didn't spill his Skettios on the table.
It has, like, some wavy lines and, like, colored circles on it.
It's the Quadrant.
I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a map of space or
something.
I think
it's a map of the galaxy. And maybe I'm only thinking that because she's like, there's no one in this galaxy. And he looks at the map and he's like, ah, crap.
But I had this book when I was a kid. It was, like, how to draw Marvel superheroes.
Sure.
Right? And it would be like, draw those
heads
figures
tall.
And, like, measure everybody in heads and all this weird stuff. But, like, every other page, it would be like, here's an activity for you to try. And there would be, like, the page with, like, an artist sketch on it. And then, like, a piece of very good quality tracing paper, like, thick tracing paper.
Yeah.
That you could, like, put over and draw over it.
Okay.
That's what this paper was.
Yeah. See, I thought it was, like, a placemat. So he didn't get scared at the table.
But he moved it over to the next computer. Like, it's like a detachable control console
It's like a thing you put on a projector, but there was no projector.
A transparency.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. But there was no...
You put the outline for the book up on the screen for the whole class to see.
But there was nothing to put it under. Like, he just had it on his desk, and then he put it on a different desk.
Yeah, I don't... He didn't do anything with it. He just carried it over to the other desk.
Look, it's just space stuff.
What is it?
He's just doing space stuff is all. So Andros takes his little disc out, and he puts it in his little Discman. He closes it. And it starts playing, and it's these two kids. And one is clearly Andros as a kid because he has Andros' goofy striped hair.
Same hair and a full-body red jumpsuit.
Yeah.
It's like basically a Power Ranger suit.
Yeah, it's like it's like if Andros got turned into a 10-year-old by Zed. And then there's a little girl there who has like a very like hippie hairstyle.
It's like a headband it's all like on one side of her head.
Yeah, she's got like a yellow version of his red suit, and they are playing with those Kinex balls that you like. You push them and they make they're spiky, and then you pull them out and it's like a ball.
Yeah,
you know, I'll try to find a show.
You know
a link
how
and put in the show notes
on KO35 where they don't have milkshakes or garages, but they have Kinex.
Well, Kinex are a universal constant, Josh. Everyone knows that,
and they are. I guess playing with it, but like with their mind powers, because they're like hovering it and like scrunching it up and popping it out.
This is how they practiced it.
With their brains.
Yeah, with a Kinex ball.
And then it runs away?
Well, Carlos comes in. Before that, Carlos comes in and sees this, and he's like, I shouldn't be here, but I'm going to look anyway.
Right.
And then it like gets away from them, because they're kids and they're just figuring out their telekinesis,
sure.
I guess. So maybe they didn't know what they were doing. But then we get a really weird thing. Because this is like a video of this. So someone was taking this video, but they also had a second camera, which was a POV from the person about to kidnap Carone.
I feel
that's her name. That's his It's obviously his sister, and that's her name.
Yeah. It's weird for a couple of reasons. One, there's different shots and angles. And two, someone is recording it, but not
helping them.
Helping.
Not helping her not get kidnapped.
I feel like, and I'm pretty sure they disprove this by showing him watch it on the screen in different angles, but I feel like we shift in and out of it. Like when it's a different angle, we are in the video.
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
I don't know. Maybe that was their intent.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Because there's definitely a shot of him, like current day Andros, looking at the monitor with it playing.
Yeah, but like it shifts out to show him watching it, and then it'll shift back in to show us like other angles maybe that he can't see on the video that he's watching.
That's really abstract for Power Rangers.
But that's wrong, and I just realized why. Is because it... Okay, so here's what happens. He has to chase the ball.
Yes.
And then he leaves Caron by herself, and a scary spaceman kidnaps her.
Yeah. And we definitely get a shot from the kidnapper's POV.
From his eyes.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
How did you get this footage, Andros, if you don't even know who he is?
So there's that shot, and then, like, he takes Caron and runs behind the tree, which is, like, where we were seeing them play from, and then the last shot in the video is from the other side looking into the trees.
Yeah.
So my theory's already wrong.
Good. Glad we worked that out. Here's what
it is. It's space video.
It's space video. They just, you know, it's from his brain, but like also other places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I got nothing. It's just so we can see this story start.
Yeah. It's just so we know that like his sister was kidnapped when they were kids and he has been looking for her the whole time. This is, as an older brother, my worst nightmare. Then Andros is like, Deca, do more scans. I will never stop searching. He basically says, like, that's my sister and I have to find her.
Yeah.
And I will title drop. And then we cut to the theme song. And when we come back, Carlos is in his bunk and he can't sleep because he has all this, like, secret information now.
Right.
So he's like, what do I do with all this secrets? How am I supposed to keep them to myself? Stay tuned for how he keeps it to himself. He doesn't. He doesn't keep it.
He did.
So then we get like this like wide shot of Andros like looking at his little placemat again, being like, I know this is a galaxy. Like, she's got to be here somewhere. And then
he rolls it up and puts it in a tube.
Is he going to like put it in like a pneumatic tube to send it away?
I don't know what this thing is, and it's driving me nuts.
It's
like he rolls up and puts it in a
map
tube,
of the galaxy.
But he keeps it on him, and I don't feel like the other Rangers know about it. I feel like it's a secret map.
It's like a special secret map of this galaxy that they're in that we never find out which one it is.
I hate this thing. I wish they would tell me what it is.
If you know what this thing is, please tell us so Josh can finally sleep at night.
I just need some rest.
So then Deca's like, hey, I found someone. There's one life form in this galaxy. And he's like, wait, it's got to be Caron. I somehow know that. I feel it in my bones.
Well, at first, he says, where is it? And she's like, it's on KO35.
Yeah.
And that's when he's like, of course she would go back home.
Because it's been abandoned, but she doesn't know that if she's been kidnapped.
Right, because she's been gone for years, he said. He doesn't specify a number, but it's been a lot of years, a few years.
Long enough for him to be, like, a teen now.
Long enough for a whole space colony to
get up and
abandon itself, yeah.
Also, no newspapers where she was captured?
I mean, she was kidnapped, so I would just assume, like, I don't assume kidnappers keep their kidnappees current events. Yeah, here's the paper, you know what's going on.
I expect a report on this for your civics class. He's like, set a course for KO35. Then we cut to Earth for a very useless scene.
This whole thing, I think we come back, we come here, we go away, we come back again for nothing.
We don't come back.
It's all in one scene?
All of it is in one scene.
See, I thought something broke it up, but I guess not.
Nope. So what happens is we're in Professor Phenomenus' van, the Phenoma van. Too clunky?
Venominous?
Venominous is better. We're in the Venominous. The Phenomenous Venominous. And
Vernacular Spectacular. Venonymous Phenomenous.
And Professor Phenomenous is talking about these alien pods. And he's like, with every evil breath, they get closer to hatching until they hatch and they grab you. And
this
then
is...
Bulk and Skull have a shared hallucination.
That there's one at their feet and it grabs Bulk's face.
And it's...
Is he describing the, like... the barnacle pod things?
Like the poop pods?
Diva Talks has the poop pods?
I don't think he is. Maybe? But what we see is definitely just like this like hatchimal, and then
all it hatches is a gross alien
this,
hand.
This like gross adult man arm reaches up, and it's slimy because of course it is, and it just smacks Bulk on the face.
And then him and Skull both see it and scream.
And starts screaming, and then he looks back, and Bulk is holding his own face screaming, and Phenomenus is like, what are you doing? Stop it.
The jury is still out on Phenomenus for me, but I do believe that that guy is buying his own crap. That guy 100% thinks he is onto something.
Yes.
And is like, right. He had that apparatus that's on his head,
yeah,
is just to like hold a microphone out.
Yeah,
it's just a microphone on
it's
it.
It's ambient noise scan. He's just getting room tone for his video that he's making. They stop to find some alien pods, and they do, except they just watermelons. There's just a couple
of... Well, Jake, they are watermelons to the untrained eye.
That's his thing, huh? He said it last time. He said it this time. Also, his accent definitely shifts.
It's weird. It goes from like... an accent, like an actual accent, like a regional thing,
yeah,
to just like old man shouting.
Well, it goes, for me, it goes from like older Jewish man to vaguely European.
Sure. It's just like, I think the accent or the direction he was given was a crazy old guy.
A crazy old coot.
And he was like, oh, I should yell and talk funny. And
yeah.
So that's what he does, but it's not always consistent.
It's like a broken Matt Hardy, where is his accent from accent? That's the only explanation. So they find the watermelon. Just some loose watermelons on the side of the road. There's just two of them. Just like in the wild.
I didn't even think of that. Like, what the hell are these watermelons doing here?
Where did they come? Number one, where did they come from? Number two,
where did
why
they go?
Are there, why is this watermelon patch only have two watermelons in it? And number three, why did he stop here? Did he see them? Because they were like off the road, like 40 feet next to a tree in some bushes.
This whole stupid scene is so that Bulk can get watermelon on him.
Yeah, that's how it ends. He's like, this is it. And he's like, this is an alien. Hold it. And he's like, I can feel it quaking. And he takes out the stethoscope. He's like, oh, I can hear a heartbeat. And Bulk's like, cool, cool, cool.
Yeah,
take
he's
it back
like, I
then.
Can hear it scratching. And like, we hear those sounds when he's listening to
it. But that's got to be more hallucinations.
I wish that they like explained it off. Like, what he was hearing. Like, I don't know. He just picked something up that sounded like a heartbeat. And, like, just the way Bulk was holding it, he was, like, rubbing it so it sounded like scratching. Or just anything. But
yeah,
they don't. It's just, like, he heard it. So then Bulk and Skull believe there's an alien because he was right once.
Yeah. And but he was right, but on accident. Like, he didn't mean
right,
to be right.
They don't know that.
So then they do a hot potato. And at some point, they just throw it up in the air. And it lands on Bulk's head. And it gets all in his mouth somehow.
He spits it all out, and then it's all over everybody. And now all three
like,
of these actors need to take like real hot
like
showers,
a good
to get
shower,
this sticky watermelon off.
Because like
it's in Paul Schreier's hair.
It's in his hair.
Like
it's all over his face and his mouth.
He has 2/3 of a watermelon all the way
yeah.
on his head.
It's like watermelons are real sticky.
Yeah,
like they get and Phenomenon's like seedless. No, like, that's not an alien, though.
Like, he's not even disappointed.
Like, yeah, you gotta address the fact that this is not an alien pod. But hey, guess what?
But he's actually crazy, so...
The next time we will see them is in the blooper reel. They were in a two-minute scene, and the whole blooper reel for the episode is them.
Yeah.
Why? Was this super funny?
Because look,
did I miss something super funny?
I've been swearing a lot on this podcast, and I'm sorry, but I can't say this without a swear in it.
Okay.
They got to get their shit in, brother.
I guess. I guess. We got back to the Astro Mega ship, and Andros is waiting, I guess, for them to come up. And so Deku's like, hey, we're at KO 35. He's like, cool, I'm going to go find Carone. Don't wake up anybody. Or I think he asks, is anybody awake? And Deku's like, no. But Carlos
is awake,
yet.
So
yeah.
Like she either lied,
okay, definitely an option,
or like just didn't scan and just assumed because it was so late. She's like, oh no, they're all asleep.
She
they're all earthlings, Andros. Come on.
She did a scan. Is like, yes, they're all in bed.
Yeah.
So that
maybe that's all she can read. Maybe she can't read consciousness, just like heat signatures.
Well, we'll think. We'll see in a second because there's definitely a scene in a bed. We'll talk about it.
Whoa, wait. Are we watching the same show?
Yeah, Carlos.
Seeing in the bed, it was like a sexy joke.
No,
never, just keep going.
It's not. We'll talk about it.
We did joke about how this is 16s in
yeah,
space.
Yeah. Okay.
Though.
So yeah, we'll get there. So he leaves and he's like, I gotta find Carone. He jumps out. He has to do like the let's rock it like
he does.
Salute
he's like
sort of thing.
He's like being sneaky and quiet at night, but he still like turns around, reaches forward, and then like does a hop spin into the tube.
Yeah, it's like who are you doing that for?
And it's just for him.
It's just for him.
But they all do it later.
if you don't, you just don't morph. You just get shot out into the cold vacuum of space.
Hey, the turtles can do it. Why not the Power Rangers?
They're mutants.
Touche.
So he's like, I got to go find Carone, jumps to his space tube. And then we cut to Astronema asleep and Ecliptor somehow alive again.
They don't explain it. The only explanation we get is that, like, he's beefier. Like, he's got more digital muscles.
Yeah, he's got more digital muscles.
And there's, like,
he's got some jewelry.
New jewelry, like, pieces on
he's
him.
Got, he's got some bracelets and a cape.
It looks like he was reconstructed, but, like, they made him better, faster, stronger.
Yeah.
Because he's got, like, upgrades.
Yeah,
they
upgraded him with digital steroids, I guess. He's watching Astronema sleep. I don't know why Ecliptor is just creeping on her. That's unsettling.
I wish that, like, they would have mentioned that he was blown up, but they don't even bring
they
it
don't.
Up.
It's like they want us to forget, but it definitely did happen in the second episode of the show.
Yeah, like, they defeated that dude.
It was three episodes ago.
He was dead.
It wasn't like, this isn't like episode 19, where we're like, whoa, Ecliptor's back. How that? It was like a minute ago they killed him, and now he's alive again.
And I love Ecliptor. Buckle up for him, but man, I just wish they explained this a little bit.
Just like, well, here's the thing, is Astronema never talks to him because she is asleep, so maybe there will be an explanation in the next episode.
Maybe. And there is this, In Space is doing this thing where it's just giving kids a lot of credit and just showing them stuff.
Yeah, it's just like giving them information without being like, hey, dum-dum,
it's like,
this is what's up.
He's a little different because he was rebuilt. We're not going to come out and say that, but like, he's got new parts.
But you get it.
Yeah.
So he sees Andros, Ecliptor does, and he's like, oh, Red Ranger, yeah, coming back to KO-35, huh?
This is weird, right?
That he just has, like, a video feed on KO-35?
Well, no, Andros is on KO-35 because Dekka read a life signal.
Yeah.
But no one's on KO-35 because Ecliptor, who is the only person that...
Awake in the galaxy.
Who is awake.
Because the whole galaxy had a bedtime.
And that they will meet on the surface of KO-35 is not there right now.
Well, here is my counter to it. This is a no prize. What if someone else is there?
I mean, that's...
We just don't know. Or it's like a big badger.
A space badger.
There's a big raccoon down there. And that's the... Because Dekka just said, there is a life form.
Right. He didn't ask for clarification.
Yeah, no, he didn't
like,
ask.
A human? Or...
No, yeah. It's, I mean, humans. It's got fingers.
No.
It's a raccoon.
It's a frog.
That's a frog. So we cut to Carlos laying in bed. And Dekka's like, Carlos, wake up. He's like, I'm awake. I didn't go to bed. And like, is this morning? Has he been up all night? Just being like, I got these secrets. I can't sleep.
I guess so. Cause I mean, it's whatever time he told Dekka to wake him up.
Yeah. So Dekka wakes him up and there is definitely like a little Dekka eyeball camera in his bedroom.
Yes.
And like, I don't know about anyone listening when they were 16, but when I was 16, the prospect of having a little camera pointed at me in my bed the whole time is horrifying.
Yeah, don't do that.
You think like he's
you
gotta,
think he's gonna be like, hey Dekka, just like
Dekka, be cool.
Hey, could you be on the bridge for the next
Dekka,
20
can
minutes?
You just be cool for 2 seconds.
This is when we started talking about how it's six sexy teenagers in space alone. Like
they all have like a Dekka camera in their room, but there's got to be times where Cassie's like, "Hey Dekka, like I need you to be a bro." Like,
yeah,
either A, turn off, or just be cool. Because we're five attractive teens on a ship. Like, it's gonna happen.
It's six. Who are you leaving out?
Nobody, what? Alpha?
But, oh, right, there is only five now, huh?
Yeah, come on, Josh. Respect the fiction of the show. Alpha is now a sexy team.
I can't believe I counted Alpha.
Carlos comes out to get breakfast. Ashley, I think, is getting something out of the synthetron. And so Carlos goes up to get some food, and he's like, where's Andros? And they're like, he's not here. And he's like, someone moved the red astroglider.
Okay, so the I'm just trying to piece together
how
all this works. Happens. So you go down the boot chute or whatever that's called.
Yeah, the jump tube?
Jump tube. Jump slide tube.
Hey, so the train's going off right now. Can I tell you about something that happened to me this morning at 4:30 a.m. when I woke up?
Yes.
So I woke up and I came out to get a drink of some Arnold Palmer because I was very thirsty. It was 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And I swear to God.
There was a ghost train in your kitchen.
I swear to God. First of all, yes, it was in this house because it was so loud. But also, it definitely was playing the opening of House of Pain's Jump Around.
Well, I mean, that is a manually activated horn.
Yeah, it was... Dun, dun, dun. That is House of Pain's Jump Around, and the train played that at 4:30 this morning.
That train is fake. That's a prank on
us. What prankster is running this train?
Remember that, like, 6 months where there wasn't a train?
Gone. I think what happened was just the horn broke. Because, like,
it's... And then when it was back, man, they let you know.
Oh, boy, did they. Anyway.
What were we talking about? Moving on. Yeah, I was trying to figure this out. Because they are in the room having breakfast with the jump tubes in it. Like, yeah, in that room.
That's the breakfast nook.
Which is also now, presumably, where the red astroglider was.
Well, yes, is where it was.
Because Carlos looks, he's like, hey, where's that? Did you guys move that?
And they're like, and they're no. Like,
why would we touch the red one? None of us are red.
So Carlos is like, oh, he must have gone down to KO35.
Well, what I'm trying to figure out is, did Andros have to, like, throw the thing down the tube? He threw it, turned around, did his little hand motion, and then jumped in after it.
We just didn't see that part. Or does it just, like, teleport to where it's needed? I hope he pushed it down the chute. Maybe he, like, tobogganed down the chute on it.
Bobsledded down.
Andros loves Cool Runnings. It's the only Earth movie he's seen. So,
ladies love Cool Running.
Josh. No, you can't just say things like that, Josh. You can be arrested for that. God.
Oh, I think I'm coming back from it. I'm okay.
Okay. Get it together. So Carlos is like, oh, Andros isn't here. He must have gone to KO35. And they're like, what do you mean, Carlos? And so he explains the whole thing. So I guess his whole, like, how am I going to keep this secret is to not, and at the first chance, tell everybody. So ladies love Cool. I'm so mad at you right now.
I thought I had it together, but I don't.
How dare you? This is what happens when we look at pictures of John Cena with big arms.
We're also recording this on a Saturday, which normally we do not.
We never do. So Carlos is like, I'm going to go check it out. I'm going to go down to the planet. I'm going to go check on him. And they're like, all right, yeah, we'll go. He's like, no. We got to give him space. So you all stay here.
Yeah.
I'll go.
No, give him some space. Let me go talk to
him. I don't have to give him space. You guys give him space.
And it's not even like, no, you guys stay here. You don't know what's going on. Because he just told all of them what's going on.
Yeah, they all have the same info.
It's just, it's bad. I don't like that part.
Yeah, it's a footage match. It's just a match.
They could have done it better. They could have not had Carlos just blab the whole secret right out.
That would have been nice. It would have been like, let me just go check on him. Like, don't worry about it. But instead, they had to, because even later, like, it doesn't really come up from the other range. Like, it comes up with Carlos again, but it doesn't really come from the other range. So he jumps. We cut back down to KO35, where there's nobody here. It's like this abandoned. So in some shots, it's right outside a power plant. Those are American shots. And then there's Japanese shots of it, like, in a weird M.C. Escher park of sorts.
Yeah, it's just, it's like a, it's almost like a monument. I don't want to say a graveyard, but, you know, it's like the monuments of all the names and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
It's almost like that, but there's, like, a million just, like, white structures.
Yeah, I don't really know what's up with this place.
It's, it's virtual reality,
I guess, yeah. And he's scanning, and he sees something, and he's like, what was that? And he turns around.
His scanner also goes off when the dark figure runs, like, past the screen.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. It's like, that's what he like, sees something, and the scanner goes off. And so he turns around, and there's nothing there. But then he turns back around, and the T-1000 starts forming in front of him. Except, nope, it's not the T-1000. It's your boy Clippy. also, I started writing Clippy in my notes instead of a clip door.
I'm still giggling about ladies.
I know. I'm so mad. So I typed in Clippy like three times. Every time it's like, you didn't mean Clippy. You meant clipped? Clippers?
No one ever means to type Clippy.
Clips? Not on an
iPhone.
It's
just like my phone is always like, you meant to scream Mario as loud as you could.
some words do that. It autocorrect. I don't remember what it autocorrected
to. I've never caps locked Mario. I don't know what my phone is like. Mario! Yes!
For me, it's usually pretty accurate. It's just a couple of swears and the word ballin' all caps. also today, I typed in something in my notes a little bit later, and it popped up as Juana's, like J-U-A-N-A apostrophe S. And I was right. Like, I do not know anyone by that name, nor would I be talking about their possessions. I don't know what this is getting anything from. Anyway, he's T-1000's up, and he's like, Red Ranger, I have tricked you, and I'm going to kill you now.
Oh, he's Goldar.
Except...
Red Ranger!
Except, wait a second, Clippy. He was here first. You didn't trick him down here
at
all.
Yeah, you weren't here. You were up creeping on Astronema.
So he throws his cape, and this is when we get, like, a good shot of him, like, buffer.
I don't get... why he has a cape, but I love that he throws it.
I think it's. I thought he was gonna do like a bullfight gag, like Toro, or just like throw it at Anderson's face, so he would be like, his face would be obscured.
But he just tosses it off, which is good because he looks real silly with it on.
He does.
But giving him that to like toss off, so you know business is about to pick
right,
up.
Yeah.
Like he pulls the straps down.
He doesn't have straps to pull down, so he's got to have something.
What if he was in like a little like Kurt Angle,
like a little singlet? They start fighting. He throws Andros in like this little like reflection pool, and he's like, "Ah, you're all washed up." And he keeps making dad. This one, you
he makes a
out-
million dad because his head pops off, and he makes all of the awesome powers losing your head jokes.
Why is he Cyber Dad?
I love it.
Why is Cyber Dad?
I don't remember this part of his character, but I'm into it.
I hope it either never comes back or is consistent. I don't want this to be intermittent. So then, he tosses his head off. It's like, Clippy, why is your head detaching?
And it's just, like, flying around shooting lasers.
Yeah, and then, he makes some Austin Powers jokes, and you're like, is this an Austin Powers joke? And I was about to say no, but then I was like, this is 1998. This might be an Austin Powers joke. Because I think the first one came out in 96. I've been wrong about things before, but I'm usually pretty okay with movie years.
Look it up.
I'm saying 96.
I feel like it was probably around 98.
So then we cut to, I definitely know The Spy Who Shagged Me came out before 2000. So I want to say that was 98 or 99.
Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery,
that's
May 2nd, 1997.
So close. Hey, May 2nd? Is that what you said?
Yep.
Hey, you know what I was doing on May 2nd, 1997?
No.
I was watching Turbo, a Power Rangers movie, in the theater. How do I know that?
You could have been watching Austin Powers, International
Man of
Mystery.
I was way too young. I would not have got it.
I feel like I watched it when it, not in theaters, but like when it came out on VHS.
On VHS. I definitely watched it at my friend Jacob Barney's house. And I also watched Spy Who Shagged Me there. And then... Yep, that's right. We did quote Austin Powers for the next several years. Because we thought...
I still do it now sometimes.
Yeah, I know. Then we cut to... Carlos is just around somewhere on KO-35, like looking for Andros. Keep this in mind for a minute when something bananas happens. Cut back to Andros and Clippy. Clippy's got the upper hand. He's about to just cut Andros into pieces with his cyber sword. But then Carlos bursts through the reality window.
There's like a glass cracking kind of like noise, and a clip door looks up, and Carlos explodes the background.
Yeah.
Like explodes through the background and like attacks a clip door. It's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool, but also, what?
But Power Rangers in Space is not in virtual reality. And they don't explain it. They just like let it happen and just like,
they
here you go.
They never like talk about it. It's just like he breaks through. It's like a second.
Yeah, the explanation, like I think the implied explanation is like he's a Power Ranger. He has power.
He did
like,
a power move. Yeah,
he did a power move. He was charged up, but he did a power move.
Yeah, it's fine.
And as a kid, you're like, that was the coolest
thing. Yeah, like, that's so cool. Or you just don't notice it because it's 1 second long.
Yeah.
And you have no object permanence because you're a baby. Then they fight for a second, and Carlos takes a bullet for Andros.
Yeah.
Who I think shot himself.
I didn't see that part.
He shot at Ecliptor with his like, space gun, and Ecliptor just, like, lightsaber blaster knocked it back at him, and it hits him in, like, the junk, I think, and it knocks him down. And then that's when Carlos shows up and takes a bullet. So they dip. He calls the astroglider, throws Carlos on it, and then he's like, I'll be back, Ecliptor. And they fly back to the ship. And it's like, we're not going to talk about him bursting through reality at all? Okay, all right. I guess we've moved past that.
No, it's...
So then they do...
I mean, that was the first time we saw Carlos, right?
Well, no, we saw him just walking around.
Oh, yeah, right, we did. Because I was like, when Andros shoots and laddered his way down to the... He just, like, faceplate. He just fell to the planet face first.
Really weird.
So I was thinking maybe, like, this was just how Carlos shot out. It was just, like, this weird shattering effect. But no. I guess not, because he was already there.
He was down there just walking around.
And then he just did that.
Yeah, and he hacked the world.
Literally hacked the universe so that he could smash through it.
So then we cut back to the ship. They're doing, like, a medical scan on Carlos. They're like, Andros, you can't just... Oh, I forgot to mention, didn't know what was Cassie wearing, because it's just the uniform. But Cassie, what is your hair doing right now?
Oh, she's got the old Chris Jericho
hair. She's got a 1999 Chris Jericho hair. She's got... It's mostly down, but there is a ponytail on the top of her head with a big old scrunchie.
Yeah. I think Chris Jericho used, like, regular hair ties. He didn't use big scrunchies, but it's the same hair. It's just like a fountain of hair off the top of your head.
It's a hair fountain. And it looks messy, which I don't know if that's on purpose or not. I don't know if it's
Well, I mean, she just got up.
She just woke up. Right? And when I had long hair, like, when I woke up in the morning, like, I also just threw my hair up. But then again, no matter what time of day it was, I just threw my hair up. I didn't do anything
with
it.
But did you just throw it up in a hair fountain?
Not once.
I don't feel like you wake up and you're like, I gotta get this hair under control. And you just tie a little bit off at the top.
Oh, that's better. these five hairs were bugging me.
Can we go back to Carlos for just a second?
Yes.
Because when he gets shot by Ecliptor's hologram of Andros, not the Ranger, but the final boss of Star Fox.
Yes.
The way he collapses, the first time I saw this, I was like, did they just kill off Carlos?
I thought they were about to.
It looks like the Black Ranger died.
Yeah, he gets all blasted, and he does that, like, fall.
He falls to his knees, but he goes limp backwards.
Yeah, it's not like a Carlos, and then, like, I'm okay. Like, he doesn't say anything. He's just, like, out.
Yeah.
And then we cut to him on the... like on the ship being like scanned, and he's just unconscious because he just got shot almost to death.
Yeah.
So then Cassie is like, hey, in the future, if you're going to run off to a planet, you need to tell us, because what affects one of us affects all of us.
And then Andros gets mad and storms off.
And like storms off like a baby. But hey, also Carlos might be dead. Andros, you're a bad leader. And I like that. He doesn't like getting help, and that's been consistent for the five episodes.
Right, he's not a team player.
He's just he's not a Power Ranger. He's just a Red Ranger, like, by a solo. So he's not, like, a Power Ranger part of a group yet, and I kind of like that that's what the story is for this first part, is, like, we've been a team before. Like, we know what it's like. You have to figure it out. Because we got to save the universe a lot. So then he goes to, like, he, like, storms off, and he has, like, this, like, memory, I guess, of Carone. Is that what it was? Or was
it's
of Carlos?
Carlos getting shot.
Like, 2 seconds ago? Okay.
And then he gets mad and goes back down to the planet.
And he says specifically, Deca, don't tell the Rangers. Snitches get stitches. Don't tell on me. Don't you dare tattle.
Deca, I will cut you.
I swear to God.
I will cut your camera out of my bunk. I know you like it in there.
Good staring at me while I'm sleeping, you weirdo. What are you, Ecliptor? So he jumps down.
That would be weird.
If Deca runs on Ecliptor AI, like this is like a Ecliptor splinter program. I mean, hey, we don't know one way or the other.
That's true. Deca has no origin story.
Yeah,
so.
Or maybe Ecliptor is a rogue Deca. We don't know. Andros jumps down and he goes to fight Ecliptor again. And Ecliptor's there and he's like, oh, I see you finally came. And so we just get a voiceover. Like, we don't see him. And he's like, oh, did you come back? Are you too weak and had to ask for help again? Because he knows what Andros's, like, buttons are. So he just push him. And he's like, no, I'm here, I'm going to fight you myself. And he's like, okay, cool. And he grows.
Well, just his foot stomps down.
Like, oh, yeah,
he's already grown because his foot comes down and just, like, kicks Andros away. And then we get the shot, like, from the top down. It looks like him growing, but it's also kind of just the camera.
Yeah, and he's like, ah, well, then I'm going to stomp you to death. And Andros like, oh, you can't fight me my own size? And Clipper's like, nope, I'm just going to kill you like this.
Yeah, he's a bad guy. He ain't care.
He doesn't care. There's no rules. There's no rules in murder.
No.
Usually that's illegal no matter how you do
it. Yeah, if there were rules in murder, there wouldn't be any because it's against the rules.
It'd be against the rules. The others are... Oh, sorry. Before this happens, before we go back to the Astromech ship, Andros does... He jumps up with the spiral saber. Like he's going to like slash at him. And Clipper just backhands him away. And he goes flying.
He just like breathes fire on him. Yeah. Like,
he's got a lot of powers.
He does.
He's doing a lot
of
stuff.
He's got every power.
He's super strong. Very specific joke. So
the only people who will get that don't listen to this podcast. Yeah.
Maybe that's for the best. Then we cut back to the others on the ship, and they're like, oh, man, Carlos is, like, real hurt. I hope he's okay. And he's like, hey, I think Tita's like, where'd Andros go? And like, I don't know. You don't think he... went back down, and I don't know who, I don't think anyone says it, but they kind of like are like, yeah, he went back down, that
right.
jerk.
Because TJ asked Deka, where's Andros? And it's just silent. Like, it cuts to her camera, but it's not even lit up.
It's nothing, yeah. And he's like, mm-hmm, okay. But also, Alpha doesn't talk. So I feel like Alpha's just, like, confused.
Yeah, he doesn't make any noise, because usually he'll be in the background like, oh.
Yeah.
But, like, he doesn't even do that. It's weird. Like, they just couldn't get the voice actress in.
Well, that's wrong because she is in later.
Yeah.
She does talk in like 5 minutes. So I don't know why they just, maybe.
I can't remember her name, but while we're talking about this, Latasha looked it up and told me this the other night. The voice actress for this incarnation of Alpha is the same voice actress that was the voice of Scorpina.
Really?
Yeah.
Weird.
Very weird. Very different voices.
Very different. Well, I mean, voice actors are... very
they have
good.
Range yeah
there's two kinds of voice actors. There's I can do every voice, or
every
voice,
character sounds like me.
My voice sounds like that, but it works for every character I play.
Yeah.
Like the Kristen Schaal is like the best example. She's Mabel Pines, and she's also Louise Burger. What's Bob's last name of Bob's Burgers? Bob's Burgers.
Bob Burgers Burgers.
Welcome to Bob Burgers, Bob's Burgers.
And then, like, the opposite is Tara Strong, who is, like, Tibby Turner and Harley Quinn and Twilight Sparkle.
Yeah, Tara Strong. Rob Paulson is also can do any voice.
And Bubbles is also Tara Strong.
Yeah, also Tara Strong. Here's a weird one that is also can do every voice. You'd think it'd be my voice fits for everything, and but it's not. It's the other one. Steve Bloom, you know the voice of Wolverine from, like, the X-Men Evolution and, like, that kind of era of X-Men shows?
No.
did you ever see any commercials for the video game Bulletstorm?
Maybe.
It's like this, like, kind of gruff dude who's like,
yeah,
I'm Steve Bloom. Like, he's also plays Guillemon on Digimon, whose voice is super high and nasally and weird.
Really?
And when you realize it's the same dude as Wolverine, it weird.
Alan Tudyk can do that too, because I would never in a million years have guessed that he was King Candy.
Oh no, I love Alan Tudyk.
Yeah.
I know what Alan Tudyk's voice sounds like.
Yeah, it's not King Candy.
I had to Google who was King Candy. but then you hear, like, other things, like he's also in Big Hero 6. He plays the one of the antagonists in that. And I was like, is that Alan Tudyk?
Man, why is my boy Wash going to voice all the bad guys?
Well, he also plays the rooster in Moana, who's a good guy, I guess.
I guess. Isn't the rooster just like a dumb little idiot? I haven't seen Moana yet.
I haven't yet either. I can't wait for it to come out on
Blu-ray.
Well,
this has been Voicing Over with Jake and Josh.
Welcome to Voicing Over.
Had one more thing I want. Oh, also, Johnny Young Vosh has a lot of anime voice acting.
Yeah.
But I think his might just be my voice works for everything.
I would think
he's
so.
He's Brock in Origins.
I still haven't seen Origins, but I heard he was Brock.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him. Good for you, boy, JYB. The others jump down. They do their pose, too, before they jump down. So they go down the jump tube. And then they show up just in time to shoot Ecliptor instead of Ecliptor murdering Andros.
Right.
They fly by him and they grab him on their astrogliders and they, like, like land and jump off and are like, all right, we're good. And then they're like, hey, we're a team. You got to like be a team player. You can't just run off and not tell us. And then Carlos limps up. Like, he's like, I'm okay. And they're like, Carlos, what are you doing?
Just like, this is a weird, like, it's fine. Like, it works perfectly well. But, like, when Andros goes back to the planet, he goes down the poop chute and he comes out.
Don't call it that.
And it cuts to the planet and he's just, like, running out of the town hall or whatever.
Yeah, the abandoned town hall.
And then, so the other Rangers are then there. And then Carlos is just, like, also coming out of a building. He's, like, down the hallway from them.
It's, like, this awning. Like, it's, like, a hotel entrance that he's coming out of.
It wasn't even an awning in that direction. Just jump 20 stories.
Look, we get to be like the other guys a lot. We get it. I know you watched it recently enough.
Yes.
It's going to be on your mind a lot. I thought I was over it. I thought the season had ended. That was
what
a perfect reference.
It's the season premiere.
What? This is why we don't record on Saturdays, I guess.
Yeah, I'm just a monster on Saturdays.
Yes. So anyway, he limps up. They all pull out their Astro Blasters. Mega Blasters? I don't know what they're called. Their little guns with the weird little tiny blade on top. And they start shooting at him, and Carlos, who from what we've been told, in Mega Ranger, the Black Ranger is the leader.
Yeah.
At least, you know, for most of it, until the Red Ranger steps up or whatever, which I imagine will happen eventually, as always happens.
Yeah.
He calls the ship, and he's like, Alpha, lock the Mega Laser onto Ecliptor and shoot him with the Mega Laser. And then we get Alpha being like, locking the Mega Laser on Carlos, like not a stock line, like definitely for this part.
Yeah.
So it's like, why didn't you ever just be like, what?
Oh no.
Yeah, anything.
Aye.
An aye, please. Hey. Hey, Power Rangers, maybe one aye.
You remember that?
That was like the whole thing?
Well, then it was yo-yo-yo for a while.
You're right. I miss Alpha 6's yo-yo-yo voice.
Yo-yo Ranger boys.
Because Deca 6 did not work as well as Alpha 6 did.
No.
Anyway, so locks on the Mega Lasers. They shoot it. And then I wrote down, maybe you can help me figure out why I wrote this. It was all a trick.
Yes. So the Mega Laser, I think the Mega Laser blew Ecliptor up again.
Okay, so that's twice now. That's a really deep cut Austin Powers joke if this dude keeps dying.
And then Andros, like, walks off on his own. He doesn't, like, walk away, but he, like, steps away from the group for a minute, and he's, like, mad, because they're celebrating because they just defeated Ecliptor.
Again.
He's just like, oh, it's all a trick.
Okay.
Yeah. He's, like, just super mopey again.
This is when he's like, I thought Corona's here, but it's just Ecliptor. But, like, bro, nah. Like, he was on Astronomer's ship. Nobody was down here.
Yeah, keep looking. He just saw you here.
And if Astronomer's ship is...
Unless Deca couldn't tell exactly where it was and just read the life signal,
but then it would have,
like, around KO-35, because they're definitely near KO-35.
Yeah, but then Deca would have read 3, because there was Elgar, Ecliptor, and Astronomer on that ship, and she just said
at the very minimum,
yeah, not counting any Quantrons or any other miscellaneous.
But
bad
you're right,
guys.
She said 1, so yeah. Someone is on KO-35.
It's just a big raccoon, I'm telling you.
We'll stuff him in the tube with that weird space map, because we'll never know who it is.
It's just this big trash kitty being like, hey, it's great down here with no people.
But if there's no people, then trash is not a renewable resource for
cat. Look, it's in a couple years, it's going to be hard times for this raccoon, but I don't know what to tell you. Right now, he's living large. So
he should be living medium, then he can live longer.
They can live longer. Look, we all know, everyone knows, raccoons do not have much foresight and no portion control on their trash eating. So we got inside to the...
Oh no, what did we cut to?
We cut to the Astro Mega ship, and Andros is on this Tony Robbins gazelle side-to-side track.
He's doing, like, space exercise, but he's not. Because the thing is just moving him side-to-side.
So the way it works is...
Because I know what the gazelle is. It's two separate things for your arms and legs.
It's like
your you're like running in play, but like you're gliding. Yeah. I've been on one. They're fun.
They're pretty fun. No,
but that's not what this is, because it has both of his feet and it's this move. It's just shifting him around.
So he's holding these two bars and use its core strength building, and using just his core, he pushes himself from side to side.
That's not how I read it, but that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I thought the machine was just moving his feet.
But I like that they were like, we need him to be exercising. What can he be doing? Push-ups? No, to earth.
way too.
What about
what I thought this was, and I should have saw the red and realized it, but I thought this was like a gravity thing, like the Earthlings had to be on this. Because have you read about how like if someone went to Mars, they'd have to have like this giant centrifugal force spinner because you wouldn't be used to the gravity, you'd be sick a lot, so you'd have to spend like a certain amount of time on this thing that would spin you around to simulate Earth's gravity.
I did not hear that.
Yeah.
I know, like, your bones get less dense in space.
Yeah.
I like, it would mess that, like, you. Birds it would lose mess, their mind.
Yeah, it would mess you all the way up to be in Mars's gravity for a prolonged period of time. Yeah. So you'd have to have, like, the spinner to keep your bones compressed.
Okay.
I thought it was going to be something like that, but it was just Andros exercising.
Yeah, doing space exercises. I just love to, like, we need a future exercise bike. Someone help! Someone called Tony Robbins.
Tony Little.
Tony Robbins is a motivational speaker. I was thinking of Tony Little with his weird old ponytail.
He's always got a ponytail and a hat.
Yeah,
just like tight muscles.
Very, very tight muscles. So then Carlos comes in and he's like, "Hey, I need to talk to you about what happened." And he's like, "Yeah." He's like, "I know about Corone." And it's like, "How did you know that?" And he's like, "It's not important."
Also, yes, Carlos saw the video in secret.
Yes.
Andros also just talked about her on the planet in front of everybody.
Well, yes, but not... No, yeah, you're right. I got no excuse. Maybe he's like, hey, I knew about it, but like before.
Yeah. Or he's like, I know more about the name that you said.
Yeah, because you did talk out loud to Dekka for kind of no reason while I was watching the video of your tiny disc.
That's for our benefit.
Yeah. And he's like, hey, we're a team now. Like, you need to learn how to, like, we're the Power Rangers. That's what it's all about. And he's like, yeah, I guess we are a pretty good team. And they, like, shake hands.
And Carlos is like, and you're on it. And they shake. And then it freezes on Andros' goofy, I'm a part of the team grin. And but then, like, you've been a part of the team the whole time, dude.
Yeah. Like, I thought we cleared this up in episode 2, but I guess we didn't. And I like that it's still kind of a work in progress.
Yeah. Like, he accepts that he's on a team, but he's still not good at it.
He's not good at it. And, like, things can still make him want to run away and be not on a team.
Yeah. He says, it'd be so much easier if I could just, like, not have to talk to anybody.
Yeah. Look, we've all been there.
I get that.
So, that is the end of the episode. I can't believe we've been talking so long about this episode.
Me
Josh.
Either. Yes, sir.
What is the best?
The best, is my Ladies Love Cool Runnings joke. That was so good.
It was unexpected. That I'll give you that. I will not put a number of quality on it.
Hey, I got a belly laugh out of you. That's all
it
I can
did.
Ask for.
I just, oh, I didn't. Who could have foreseen this? I'm going to say the best is...
For the actual episode, I think the best is Carlos, like, not him being like, I'm going to go down there. You guys stay here.
Yeah.
I'm going to go check on him. Everybody else... stay here. I didn't like that, but I did like him, like, I'm going to go help him. I know what's going on, even though I just told everybody maybe that shouldn't have been written that way.
Yeah.
But I'll go help him out, and then, like, he takes the bullet for him.
Yeah, I'm going to say the best is starting the Corone storyline.
Yeah.
Kind of, like, as well, because it, like, is a major part of the series and, like, it, like, where it goes. It's the one thing we have managed to not spoil for the entire run of our podcast so far. What's the worst?
Ecliptor just coming back for... just because, like, here he is?
Yeah, I'm going to say Ecliptor, number one, creeping on Astronema, and then number two, nobody addresses the fact that he did definitely die a couple episodes ago.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure he died again in this one.
Yeah, because they were celebrating like he was dead.
I hope the next time we see him is just Astronema like, stop dying, idiot.
Hey,
Goldar knew when to run away.
Yeah, just figure out when to leave.
Goldar even said that. He's like, if I leave now, I can fight later.
You gotta know when to hold him. You gotta know when to fold him. You gotta know when to walk away. And you gotta know when to run. That's the rules from the gambler himself, Tony. Not Tony. Kenny Rogers. Tony Rogers. Tony Little also wrote The Gambler, in addition to his many exercise equipments that he invented.
Goodness.
Who's the MVP?
Carlos.
Carlos. It's got to be Carlos. Yep. That's why I didn't want to give him my best specifically. But, right. But yeah, Carlos is like a cool dude, fixes the Astro Glider, goes down to check on him, and then at the end is like, hey, I know that like I did almost die from your mistakes, but like it's nothing.
Right. I'm fine.
I'm fine now.
Like, we'll work on it.
I got to hold my tummy to show that I'm a little injured, but other than that,
right,
we're good.
He's an indie wrestler.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh, my rib. Just the one.
Back handspring, drop kick.
Yeah. I can still do a 450 and land right on these rib, but...
oh, they hurt.
But oh,
it's going to hurt me a little more than usual.
But when I get up, I'll do this. Oh, a little... Pro wrestling. That's it. That's going to do it for us for this episode. I'm tired. We've been recording for a long time.
This one got away from us.
This one got away from us.
That's my fault, I think. Because we started off with John Cena's arms, and it just all went downhill.
It all spiraled from there. And, I mean, I know it's going to be much shorter, because we did definitely talk about Goldberg for at least 5 minutes before we came back. So, thank you very much for listening. We will see you on Friday for another episode.
I might still have it.
Okay.
Bum. I don't still have it because I Googled Austin Powers.
Why did you Google Austin Powers?
I had to find the date. Hang on, I got it right here. So let me scroll down. The next episode is titled Satellite Search.
Okay. So first you never stop searching. Then you use the satellite
you
to search.
It didn't work when you...
Cable wasn't working.
The scan didn't work.
No.
So now you have to satellite search.
You got a satellite search. Makes sense. We'll see you on Friday for Satellite Search. Go check out our new Discord if you're a patron. It's pretty cool. A lot of cool people all talking about cool stuff, having a good time. So we will see you Friday for Satellite Search. But until then,
may the power protect you.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Rangers in space.
I am very impressed that you didn't call the episode Shellquake.
I almost called it Certified Turtle Fight, but I feel like that would have been too easy. So what I did was I didn't mention the Ninja Turtles at all.
Yeah.
And I hope...
That'll get them.
Yeah, you've been pranked.